big show for you here today.
Truly, it is a huge show. It's packed because it is all of my Radio Row interviews that you haven't heard just yet. We have a ton of great conversation coming your way with truly NFL stars. Okay, we're talking Trevor Lawrence, Trey McBride, Tetero McMillan, Rome Odunze, DJ Moore, Michael Pittman, and Keenan Allen and Ladd McConkey from the Chargers. Again, doesn't get much better than that. We are going to have a ton of good football conversations, high level, coming your way. You guys are going to love this. Let's get into that right now. What's going on, everybody? I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast, and it is a hell of a day to talk ball. And joining me to talk a little ball, well, it's a lot of people today, okay? Because what we are going to do on today's show is we are going to go take a look back at some of my player interviews from Radio Row this year. That's right. We have a ton of great conversations to get into today. You are going to learn some ball in this episode. Great thoughts from a ton of folks here, all NFL players. Here's the list. Here's the rundown. We've got Trevor Lawrence. We've got Trey McBride. We've got Tetero McMillan. We've got Rome Odunze. We've got DJ Moore, Michael Pittman, and both Keenan Allen and Ladd McConkey. I mean, my God, what a list of people. You are going to get a ton of great information in this episode, a ton of things that you can take into the offseason, actionable takeaways, and some real good football theories. I promise you, you guys are going to love these conversations. But before we jump into those conversations, fantasy football. Football is over, okay? No more football season, although we're going to be doing a ton of football, of course, over the course of the offseason. Fantasy baseball, though, that's back. Fantasy baseball returns, and playing is easier and more fun than ever. Get your crew together and play with your friends today, whether it's public or private league. Step up to the plate and hit a fantasy home run with new features like upgraded commish draft tools, easier roster management, and social first community feed in the app. It's the perfect time to play fantasy baseball on the Yahoo Fantasy app. You'll love to see it. Okay, let's get into this. We've got a ton of great interviews today. First up is Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence. You guys are going to really love this conversation. Trevor gives me a full breakdown on the wide receiver room, which I am already tired of talking about the Jags wide receivers. Luckily, Trevor Lawrence is not tired of talking about him. He had a lot to say. Let's hear what Trevor and I talked about in San Francisco on Radio Row. Very excited now to be joined by Trevor Lawrence, Jaguars quarterback. You're here on behalf of Zevo. Appreciate you joining, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate you guys.
We're going to talk about Zevo here in just a second. I want to lead off with the offense this year. It felt like to me, and you can tell me if I was wrong about this, felt like first half, second half, two pretty big splits there felt different. Walk me through what happened in the first half, why things kind of felt like it got better in the second half.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of factors that go into it. I think just in general, when you have a new staff, new system, a new offense that all the guys are running, you know, it's a little bit of a learning curve, especially this system compared to what we ran in the past. It's a big change. So to get comfortable with that takes some time. And obviously you have a lot of work in the off season, but until you have, you know, live bullets flying and you get to learn from real reps and games, sometimes it takes a little bit longer to click than maybe you would anticipate. So I think that's a big part of it. I think also with our offense, we really figured out who we were about that halfway point in the season. What's our bread and butter? What are, you know, certain guys on certain routes and different plays we like? And all of the things just started to click. I feel like as we started to play with a lot of confidence as an offense in the passing game specifically. You know, we ran the ball well all year.
Yeah.
But I think in the passing game, that's where it took a big jump. Just the confidence that I had in the guys out there, they're making a bunch of big plays, and then them that they had in me to put the ball where it's supposed to be on time. Guys trusting the details of the offense and the system, and you saw it start to pay off towards the end of the season.
No doubt. And when you say like that bread and butter, this is who we are as a passing game, now that you kind of feel like you've figured that out in the second half, what would you describe that identity as?
Yeah, I think it changes, you know, week to week. You have to do more of certain things, less of certain things. But I would say just having that consistency. Jacoby was a huge part of that too, totally. As far as that consistent guy over the middle, making the contested catches over the middle, being able to attack the middle of the field. And then Parker, a lot of the yak and the run after the catch that he was able to create at the end of the season was huge to create some more explosive plays. We weren't having to just take shots to create explosives. Yeah. We could throw it across the middle, catch and run for 20, as opposed to just having to throw a deep ball. And then BT was also able to stretch the field vertically. Mm-hmm. So we kind of were able to piece it together and and move guys around to where it wasn't obvious necessarily what exactly we were wanting to do every play. And those guys were versatile enough to change it up, but that became our bread and butter and where guys really excelled.
Well, since you talk about the receivers and you say bread and butter, my bread and butter is actually studying the wide receiver position. So that's what I dive into the most. So I want to kind of go through all of those different guys and talk about like strengths, weaknesses, deployment, things like that, because that's where I kind of agree. Like once everyone's settled into roles, and that's how it is with the receiver, like one guy is not the same as this guy. It's very different player to player. But you mentioned Jakobi Meyers, like, one of the most underrated receivers in the NFL. What did you think of when you guys brought him in and how he fit into the offense?
I was really excited. You know, I've watched him a lot over the past few years, just seen him play. The way he plays was something that I always liked. He's really tough. Just catches everything. Makes a lot of contested catches. Can create separation at the top of routes, so he doesn't get enough credit for that.
Such a good route runner, man.
He's a great route runner, has a lot of feel, can run, and he knows zones. You know, he's smart. You can tell he has good spatial awareness. So all those things I was excited about, and then I just heard about the type of person he was. I heard great things once we got him from guys that play with him, and that kind of solidified, all right, I'm like super excited, because that's the only thing. You don't know a guy personally. You can just see him play, and I know he's a good player. But, yeah, that piece, and he's really unselfish. That's the cool thing is – you watch him block. I think everyone that wants to be a great wide receiver should go watch him block. And that's something that teams need and your teammates know. I mean, our O-line loves that guy because they see how he blocks on run plays. And that means a lot as far as just building the culture of your team.
Yeah, it doesn't get you the fantasy points, but, like, blocking is huge at the wide receiver position. Spatial awareness, too, probably the most underrated trait that you can look for in a wide receiver right now, especially in today's game with all the zone coverages. You mentioned Parker Washington. He's a guy who's been on the team for a minute now. He wasn't a new addition. What went into his ascension this year? Was it a role change? Is it just growth as a player? What was it?
You know, I think he's always had a ton of ability and really hard worker, and we've played a little bit in the past. We've gotten some reps together just because – you know, before it was Christian Kirk, and we had a great chemistry relationship, but then he got hurt and Parker had to come in. So we did have some reps in the past. So I think that helped us jumpstart that process once he became the guy when Travis got hurt about halfway through the season. He knew he was going to get the reps. He was going to be our starting slot. And it was pretty seamless, the transition, just because he'd put so much work in to prepare for that moment. He'd learned the system. Even though he wasn't getting starting reps, you know, he knew what to do. So when he got his number called, he was ready to go. And then I think just from his, you know, athletic ability, the explosiveness, the run after the catch, how he can just, you know, feel where defenders are and make moves in space. I mean, it's pretty unique. And that's really just natural talent, a lot of that. But he works really hard, though, so I'm proud of him.
Yeah, I have these kind of like stupid little designations I throw out sometimes, especially with slot receivers. Like, well, there's the pop gun slot receiver guys. You know, you throw them the football in the short area, kind of catch and fall. Then you got those more vertical slot players, explosive down the field. He definitely, I think, showed he fits into the latter group there.
Yeah, you know, he can do it all. I think you can work the underneath stuff, and he can catch and break a tackle and turn it into, you know, 4-yard catch into 12, 15, 20 yards. And then he also can run crossers. He can run slot fades. You know, he can do it all. He's not a tall guy. He's shorter, but he can go up and high point the ball. Has crazy vertical. I mean, he can go up and catch it. So it's not like you're limited to, oh, we can't throw it down the field to him. You know, and that really helps him because it's not – you know, you don't know what route he's going to run.
Right. He feels like a guy that's going to be really tough to take off the field after what he showed last season. You mentioned Travis Hunter. Admittedly, I'm a huge fan of Travis Hunter as a prospect. I thought he had the ability, the potential to be like a truly special wide receiver if he focused in on that position. But we know he's doing a lot. He's playing two ways. Do you have any sense of what his growth is going to be like, where he might be playing more and more, what his role is going to look like, especially on the offensive side?
You know, I think just the way, you know, the way he is, his personality, I think this injury in rookie year is only going to just make him better. I mean, he's a guy that really
– timing of that
wants
was
to be,
brutal.
Oh, no. He was starting to really get going on offense, and we were starting to click. So it was tough timing, and I really hated it for our team and for him. But I do think he's going to look back on it's an area where he could grow and get to sit in meetings and see installs every week and not necessarily have the physical stress on his body, but he gets to learn. And he'll feel even more confident coming into the spring of knowing the system. But who knows, as far as offense, defense, that split, I don't know what that's going to look like. You know, it's not necessarily my decision, but I think it's going to be wherever the team needs him most. And obviously he can play both. He's shown that he can. So who knows what the rep count looks like, but I know he's a special receiver when he gets the ball in his hands. And just his ability to go up and make any catch is pretty unique, and not a lot of guys have that. So as a quarterback, you want to see him on the field on offense too. Yeah. But to your point, you know, Parker's earned his opportunity as well. So we got to figure out the best way to go about that. And we got a lot of guys that can play, and that's a good thing. So we'll figure it out.
Yeah, as a quarterback, you're like, hey, this is good. Love the depth. Love the depth there. And Brian Thomas is a guy that had a great rookie season statistically. This year, a little bit of a drop-off from the stat sheet-wise, but you mentioned fit in really well as that kind of like straight-line X receiver, stretching the field there. And that's an important role even if you're not getting the football. What's kind of your relationship with him? How did he handle this season, and what are you looking forward to going forward with him?
He handled everything really well. You know, I think it's no secret that it wasn't the year that he wanted to have.
Sure.
And he'd tell you that. But it's not for – he put a lot of work in. You know, cares a lot. He's unselfish. You look at the way – same thing with him. The way he grew as a player and the way he blocked for guys in the run game, guys after the catch. He'd run down the field, be the first one to block. Just the steps that he took in that area. And obviously the production wasn't the same as his rookie year. But, you know, it's the NFL, and there's going to be times where it doesn't go your way always. And I was proud of the way he responded every day, came to work, didn't complain. There's a lot of guys that, you know, a lot of really great players that could not have handled that situation as far as not getting the ball as much as they thought they should. And he handled it with grace, was a professional. And I'm really excited just to build this offseason because I know he's not only a deep, you know, go ball receiver.
Sure.
He can do more than that, and I know he believes in that as well. So, you know, we're going to be able to do a lot with him this year, and we just got to keep getting better. And, I mean, he's so young. He's 22, 23 years
crazy.
Old. It's guy, you know, guys are have to go through a little bit of some bumps in the road. I've had mine for sure.
I was going to say, you're proof positive of that it's not always just like steady upwards. It can be a little up, down, like progression for any of us. Shoot.
Yeah.
In my line of work too, it's not always just progression is always upward linear. Like you have your bump. That's life, man.
All right, great stuff there from Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, love the thoughts about the overall just offense and how that takes time for guys to trust in the system. I think that's, especially once you get to like games, like the bullets are flying, you know, live reps are way different than training camp. I think it's something that we probably spend a lot of time looking back at coaching and think, okay, well, these guys are just going to love Liam Cohen's offense. It's a good reminder that, yeah, these guys can see the results and, you know, the big plays and highlights and stuff like that, but it's not as if Trevor Lawrence and these Jags receivers and stuff like that are all that tuned into like, all right, yeah, I was really watching the 2024 Bucks with Liam Cohen. They clearly for players, you got to like prove it to them. And I think that was probably a learning experience for all of those guys to really buy in and get the details, like Lawrence said, for the offense there. But the receiver breakdown from Trevor was awesome. And I think that was just really cool for him to want to play ball with that, number one. Some of my just overall takeaways from it. Number one, the Jakobi Meyers thing. I'll also peel back the curtain for you guys here. He was talking about Jakobi Meyers with both Nate and myself before before the cameras got rolling. Nate Tice obviously was on set with us as well. Got was talking about that with both of us before the cameras got rolling here. Just I believe he said to Nate, yeah, it was just nice to have somebody where I knew where he was going to be all the time. So it's a reminder of how important Meyers' addition was for this team and what Jakobi is going to continue to bring to that football team. That's big. The fact that Trevor's feeling of trust increasing was, you know, something you could see on the field. You could see it in the stats and how often he was targeted on a consistent basis when he first got there. The fact that, yeah, we were all onto something there because the quarterback literally said it there and talked about just what he brings to the table as a veteran receiver in all phases. Love to hear that. That's just kind of confirmation of what you think about Jakobi Meyers. For Parker Washington, good points there all across the board from Trevor. I thought him saying, you know, he's going to continue to earn his opportunities. It's just a reminder, like, Parker Washington's not going anywhere. You know, will he have the same per route statistical success that he did this past season? Kind of need to do some more work on that and continue to think through it. But from a just, hey, this guy has earned his place within the offense, that has clearly happened. I think Trevor trusts him. Talked about how they've had a long time to build chemistry and connection, longer time than anybody else on this roster. There's no question about that. Highlighting his athletic ability, his explosiveness down the field is key too. This is not just some, you know, PPR scam or someone like that. He can clearly win down the field. Loved Trevor highlighting that. At the same time, cool to kind of get his thoughts on the two guys who were supposed to be the guys at the start of the year. Both just, you know, him kind of cementing what I think about Travis Hunter is that he's got the potential to be, you know, a special wide receiver if given the chance to develop there. Of course, Trevor has no idea, just like we all have no idea what his snap allocation is going to look like this year. That's an ongoing guessing game for all of us on the outside and probably an ongoing conversation for the Jacksonville Jaguars internally. The Brian Thomas Jr. one, very fascinating. Some of his just, I think, transparency about, you know, how hard the year was for BTJ, but also how well BTJ handled it. And sounds like Lawrence, Trevor's really ready to dive back in and build that connection up. I know there's, you know, weird stuff on the outside about, hey, these guys don't see eye to eye or whatever. I don't think that's the case. I think this is a quarterback who wants to continue to feed into this young wide receiver and an unselfish young wide receiver who wants to continue to get better and do more things. Will he be a Jacksonville Jaguar in 2026? I still think that's probably up in the air, but I think if he is, Trevor's going to want to work with him and build that up. Will that mean that Brian Thomas Jr. is going to get enough volume to be a fantasy starter? I think when we've gotten down, you know, four guys, not in any order, by the way, just random order there, four guys on the list and talked about all four of them, you know, needing the football. We didn't even mention tight end Brenton Strange or any of the running backs out of the backfield. It's going to be tough. This is why I said I'm already kind of talked out on these Jaguars wide receivers. This is a crowded room. We don't know where the football is going, but pretty clear that Trevor had gave us a good breakdown on all four of those wide receivers, what they bring to the table, what they're good at, and a little bit some clues as to what we could expect if they're on the team all playing in 2026. All right, we are going to take our first quick break. When we come back, we've got more player interviews to get into. We've got a great conversation with Trey McBride. We'll hear that on the other side of this quick break. All right, we're back. We're continuing to run through all of my interviews on Radio Row. Got two good ones coming up here in this segment, starting with Cardinals tight end Trey McBride. Yes, tight end one overall himself, gives us a really good conversation. You guys are going to love this one. Let's take a listen. Very excited to be joined now by Cardinals star tight end Trey McBride. You're here on behalf of Rockin' Protein. I am very much excited to talk about that later on here, but got to ask, man, how you doing? What's going on?
Doing good, yeah. Just finished up the Pro Bowl here in San Francisco. Had a crazy busy week, but life is good. Just enjoying the offseason, ready to get back to it and keep going, yeah.
Well, you're here at the Pro Bowl because you had a career year in 2025, a historic year for a tight end in 2025. So let us know, like, what went into having that big of a season for you.
Yeah, I think it really boils down to a lot of different things. You know, a lot of coaches doing the right thing, players doing the right thing, and opportunity. You know, we were down in a lot of games, so we had to throw the ball a lot. And that's why I was able to catch so many passes. But I'm very thankful for all my teammates, coaches, all those guys that helped me have a career year.
You know, most NFL offenses, at least this is my opinion, you can tell me if I'm wrong, most NFL offenses don't really run through that tight end as the first read traditional guy. Usually you're trying to hit those passes to the right perimeter wide receivers. Sure. That was not the case in Arizona last year. Obviously that thing was running through you. Like, why was that? Was that personnel based? Was that coaching decisions? Kind of take us into that.
I think it's a little bit of everything. You know, obviously we had a little banged up injuries at wide receiver. We had guys in and out, and you know, I think I was just consistent and they, you know, able to catch the ball and make plays for the team when they needed to be. So the ball just kept finding me, and it was a lot of fun. But I don't know if I was the number one read, but I was getting the ball a lot, so it was fun.
Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. And watching Drew Petzing's offense, you know, he's a guy that gets a lot of crap out there.
For
you
sure.
Know, he obviously
sure.
No longer with Arizona. He's going to Detroit. What can you tell us about Drew as a coach that maybe people misunderstand, whether it's him or his offense, anything there?
Yeah, I think Drew's one of those guys who very schematical, one of those guys who can draw up a game plan with the best of any of them, and he can scheme guys open and get guys open. Obviously, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He did that with me, but a tremendous coach, tremendous person, and I think the Lions are getting a good one. He's a great coach, and I'm excited to see how they you know, do this year.
When you like mentioned scheming guys open, can you kind of, because this is something like I say all the time, like, oh, this coach is good, really good at scheming guys open, but I think the listeners, the viewers would find it much more informative if you tell them, yeah, like what that means rather than just like my little estimation.
Yeah, I think it's more of just like, you know, certain teams run certain coverages, and mm-hmm. and some plays work against those coverages and some plays don't. So
right.
knowing, you know, when they're going to be in this coverage, their tendencies, things like that, and being able to call a good play against the coverage that they're going to run. And I think Drew understands what the other team's going to do and can draw plays with the best of any of them. So when he calls that perfect play versus perfect coverage, you know, your eyes just light up and you know that ball's probably going to come to you if they do run that certain coverage.
And NFL offenses are really changing now. Yeah. I started covering the league and really focusing on this stuff in like 2014, 2013. It's not a totally different sport, but just the way offenses are structured and the way defenses are combating that is totally different. We're seeing a lot more teams go rather heavy with 12 personnel, 13 personnel. As one of, if not the best tight ends in the league right now, how do you sort of see that change, you know, altering NFL offenses? How are defenses combating it? Like, or has the league really shifted in that way?
I think so. You know, the tight end is a unique position that, you know, you bring three or four of us out there on the field and it brings a lot of problems to the defense. How are we going to cover all these guys? How are we going to, you know, stop them in the run game? And it's one of those where you can't be in the perfect defense because you got to be able to help them in both the run game and the pass game. So you get too many linebackers out there, then they're, you know, a liability in the pass game. You have too many safeties, then maybe you can run the ball a little bit better because they don't have any run-stopping guys in there. So it's kind of that unique position where if you bring a bunch of guys out there, they don't really know what to do, and you can usually take advantage of their scheme.
And I think we're seeing wide receiver, tight end, like almost the lines being blurred a little bit, right? Where, again, like tight ends weren't catching a bajillion passes like you were maybe 10 years ago. So we're seeing those lines blur a little bit. If you almost view yourself as a two-position player, or is it really just more about the structure of the offense?
I think it's about the structure of the offense. I mean, I play tight end. I block more, you know, just as much as I probably catch the ball. So it's not like I'm split out the whole game and then, you know, in a two-point stance with, you know, things like that. I'm going to put my hand in the ground. I'm going to block in the run game. I'm going to do the chop blocks, all the stuff that tight ends do. So that tight end position is a lot of fun because you get a little mix of everything and can catch the ball and also kind of be a, you know, an asset in the run game too.
Okay, well, see, this is good for me because I do a charting series called Reception Perception where I focus in on wide receivers.
Yep.
One of the feedback I always get from subscribers, viewers, listeners, like, we got to start charting tight ends too. I'm like, listen, it's two different positions. Number one, you know, I got a database going back to 2014. I can't just add a whole new layer into it. And two, I got enough time on my hand with all these good wide receivers. Right. Like, I could bring a second position in here. So Trey McBride endorses the idea of keeping things separate.
Keep it separate. Two different positions.
You don't know how much you just helped me personally. But I mentioned I do work on wide receivers. I do want to get a scouting report from you on the two big guys on your team there. And let's start with Michael Wilson, who, to me, I thought was super underrated, really just wasn't getting the production to match his talent, but did have that season this year. Can you tell the people out there a little bit about Michael Wilson, the player, the person?
Mike's a great, great dude, great player, great person, all the above. A guy who there's no surprise why he's had the success. He's a guy who puts in the work every single day. He's the hardest working guy out there. He's always out there early, catching passes, this and that. And to me, there's no reason, you know, it's no surprise why he had the success he had. He just was waiting for his opportunity. Mm. It finally came, and he took full advantage of that.
Yeah, that's what's cool to see, man. There's so many receivers out there just like – and tight ends, too, that just need that opportunity.
Yeah,
and when you get it, you take it and roll. And part of that opportunity was, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. had a little bit of some injuries this year, which I think allowed Michael Wilson to step up. But, man, Marv, like – tell the people about Marvin Harrison, like player, person, again, like give me your scouting report on him because I'm still a big fan of his, even if the production hasn't necessarily been what people have expected. Fourth overall.
Marvin's the best, man. He's a great person and obviously a generational player, like a guy who is 6'4", can run as fast as anybody and it makes freaky catches all the time. So Marvin's just one of those guys who, you know, he gets a bad rap for whatever reason, and obviously he's had a great, you know, couple years. It's just, for whatever reason, people don't think it's good enough. And I you know, he's had a couple injuries last year. He's a stud player, and you know, I think he's going to make a huge jump this year, and kind of, you know, hopefully silence those people a little bit. And I love Marvin. He's a heck of a player, great person, and you know, I love playing with him.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited to see all three of you guys kind of get working here because I feel like that's what we learned last year. There's a lot more pass catching talent on this team than maybe people thought. And you're going to be in a new offense this year, new head coach. Yeah. Mike LaFleur comes in here. I really like Mike's scheme. Are you excited to play in a new offense and kind of see what that is there?
Yeah, obviously loved everything that Drew did and had a lot of success under him, but very excited for what he brings to the table in LaFleur. He's obviously had been very successful in the division that we're playing. He's a tremendous coach, tremendous person, and he loves the tight end. So hopefully, you know, we can get a bunch of guys and catch a ton of balls with him.
Yeah, my guess is we're not going from some system here that, oh man, Trey McBride was the feature player to let's just make that not happen. That would be pretty stupid. I don't think we're going to see that. I think you're going to see a lot of good opportunities in that offense. Would be remiss here if I didn't ask you about the Seahawks defense. Right, I mean, they're in the Super Bowl. You see them twice a year, and you know, we mentioned the changing, shifting in modern NFL offenses. This is one defense that I feel like is perfectly structured to kind of combat those modern NFL offenses. Mm-hmm. Tell the people what they need to be watching for on Sunday against this defense.
Yeah, they, I mean, all the way around, those guys are good. With the front, you got Leonard Williams, and the outside guys, you got Mafe and the other guy. And then, you know, you got Ernest Jones in the middle. You go to the back end, you got Witherspoon, Love, Kobe Bryant, Woolen, the rookie, the safety. I mean, gosh, dang, the line, the list goes on and on. They're tremendous players. They're a tough defense. And I'm very fortunate I get to play against those guys twice a year.
Makes you better.
Yeah, it makes me a heck of a lot better. They're a great defense, and I'm excited to see how they, you know, do this weekend.
And how much of a challenge is it for a player in your position, you know, as that tight end who's getting all the volume there, to go against a defense that pretty much just like, okay, we're not letting you dictate personnel to us. Like, we play nickel to everything because those are the type of guys we have. Like, what kind of a challenge is that based on other defense?
Brings a lot of challenge, especially if you're not able to run the ball. If you can run the ball against that stuff, they usually kind of can get out of it pretty quick. But if you're not able to run the ball, they stay in it the whole game, and it's challenging to throw the ball against those guys. They have so many long, tall guys on defense. So to play those guys is a lot of fun, and you know, I'm excited to see how they do this weekend.
Really good conversation there with Trey McBride. Of course, we obviously taped this before the Super Bowl, but I would say Trey was really vindicated on that Seahawks defense breakdown. Obviously, we all know the Seahawks defense was fantastic. We didn't need to see them win the Super Bowl to do it, but he presented a lot of reasons there of why this defense is so difficult for some of these modern offenses. That is my first thought coming out of that interview. My second one, serious vindication for me on charting tight ends. I mean, listen, folks, I know there's a lot of folks out there, a lot of people got to chart tight ends. Okay. Well, when tight end one says, keep them separate, these are two different positions. That's what I've been saying the whole time. In addition to the fact that even McBride's put, I don't know if you guys caught this one, when he said, hey, yeah, in this offense last year, I don't know that I was always the first read, but I did catch a lot of passes. That, to me, really interesting, because they're just, as I mentioned to Trey, and I say this all the time on the show, it's why it's so hard to find good fantasy tight ends. Most NFL offenses don't want to revolve around the tight end. Even this offense, where the tight end was the focal player, caught a bunch of passes, it's still, even Trey McBride is saying, I don't know how often I was the first read in some of those plays. Thought that was interesting, because we just don't often see most teams like build an offense around tight ends. Okay. It's really difficult, because typically we want to get those explosives down the field to wide receivers. Obviously, Trey McBride's a different animal. He can get those explosives from the tight end position. It's why he catches all those passes, but it's also a good proof of concept that he understands the scheme. He understands the offense and just what he's able to do. That's why he is on those stick routes and things like that. That's why he's always getting the ball from, especially Kyler Murray early on, and then even Jacoby Brissett, of course, getting him the football there too. It's clear what makes him such a good player. You know, really smart, understands scheme, understands like, okay, based on this coverage, this is what I need to do from a route perspective. Really loved talking about that with Trey McBride. In addition to the fact, again, like I said, kind of vindicating some of my thoughts about the tight end position. Thought that was interesting, a quick one there. When we're talking about the wide receivers here, good thoughts from Trey. I really listen. I know people get annoyed at this stuff sometimes. Like, oh, of course he's going to say good things about his teammate. Of course he's going to say Marvin Harrison and Michael Wilson are good guys and they're good players and whatever. But I'm just telling you guys, from doing this for however long I've been doing it now, you can get a sense of like when somebody's just blowing smoke to say something nice is what they're supposed to do. And, you know, I think that was a little bit more Trey going to bat, especially for Marvin Harrison. Cool to hear that there. Just kind of saying, hey, man, like, he's a good player. He should not be getting the kind of crap that he does. I understand, as the media guy, why people are hard on Marvin Harrison. You know, fourth overall pick, the name. He definitely has been underwhelming based on expectations. I think it's obviously something you're more aware of on the outside than a teammate. So I get that, but good to hear that Trey McBride thinks that Marvin is as good as he is and is locked in, really hoping that Mike LaFleur comes in here and elevates this entire offense. Like Trey and I said, there's more talent on this pass catching group than you probably would think. Speaking of that, just for Lions fans, I'm sure you watched everybody beat up on your now offensive coordinator, Drew Petzing, on the internet. Obviously, look, Trey's going to be a fan of the offense because he was ultra productive in the offense, but again, some of the same things I've thought about Drew Petzing, Trey pointed out here. I think there can be issues with Petzing in terms of the sequencing and all of that, like calling things within game. I'd say that's a learning. It's a work in progress for Drew. Let's put it that way. But very schematic guy, good designer of the offense. I don't think there was anything, especially from a pass game standpoint, and definitely the run game before this season, offensive about the way it was designed. I just don't think it was always fitting for the quarterback, and especially from a, again, sequencing perspective, I think things could have been better there for Drew Petzing. But good proof of concept that the guy knows what he's doing from a design perspective, and I think getting with the personnel that the Lions have, good overall for the Detroit Lions fans. Last point on this interview, just again, I would encourage you guys to watch it back, listen to it again, and get some of the thoughts on tight ends that he had here, because I really do think tight ends at this point, it's almost sort of like it's a calling card of what your offensive identity is. It shows, you know, what you want to do, where you're going from a modern trends perspective. Just to put a finer point on that, I put a tweet out pretty recently. It was before the Super Bowl, so it feels like 1,000 years ago now, of which teams went heavier in terms of multiple tight ends on the field last year. 22 personnel as well, more of that stuff. The teams that skewed heavier last year, top five: Falcons, Browns, not so great, obviously, but they had quarterback issues. Rams, Seahawks, Bears. Three offenses that were some of the best, top 10 in the NFL last year. No question about that. That's good stuff there. Teams that had an increase, the top five most increase in plays with 3+ wide receivers on the field: Saints, big system change between Kubiak and Kellen Moore. That offense actually exceeded expectations. But then Chiefs, Vikings, Lions, Raiders. I would say those four teams, pretty disappointing relative to expectations offensively. So good breakdown from Trey McBride there about just how important those heavy personnel packages and what tight ends can do for you from a mismatch perspective, even when those guys aren't getting the football. So that was the theme of a lot of my conversations this week. I'm sure you guys listened to the Christian McCaffrey interview that was last week. Learned a ton about that, and I'm going to continue to hammer home those offenses are ones worth investing in fantasy football. A rookie that we all, I think, liked having on our fantasy teams last year was Panthers wide receiver Tetero McMillan. He is the next player I'm talking to here. Let's hear what T-Mac had to say.
Very excited to be joined now by Panthers wide receiver Tetero McMillan. Very happy to have you here on behalf of Sharpie. T-Mac, what's going on, brother?
Not much, man. Just enjoying the moment. You good?
I'm great. I'm worried about you, man. You've been going through all these circuits. You've been doing this whole thing. What is the question that you've been asked so far that you are sick of being asked?
Man, I'm done talking about Bryce Young.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about him anymore.
You want to talk about you.
Nah, I don't want to talk about me, but I just, you know, I love Bryce. He's a good dude, but man, Bryce, I don't want to talk about you anymore, man.
Hey, I feel you. Listen, if I was going around to all these and they're like, tell me about your other co-hosts, I'd be like, after a while, man, like,
yeah,
that's enough already. That's enough already. Because, you know, people are trying to get something out of you, all that whole thing. So rookie season, adjustment for college from the pro game. What do you think was the thing that maybe took you by surprise in terms of, like, facing NFL defenses, learning NFL offense the most?
I would say, you know, the calls, you know, I didn't get as much calls as I wanted to in the league.
Like flags?
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like, you know, in college I had the luxury of getting every call that I really wanted to, but when I got in the league, I realized that, you know, I got to earn my stripes a little bit.
No doubt. Right. It's like, they used to say that about Cam Newton with the Panthers. Like, you're not old enough to get that call. It's like, look, I don't know what that means.
That don't make no sense. Like, that makes no sense. That makes no sense.
Absolutely makes no sense. One thing I thought was interesting watching your rookie season was it felt like as the year went on, you started to play more than just the X receiver position, because scouting you as a prospect and charting your film, I was like, this guy is a true classic X receiver, but he can do a little bit more than that. He can move around the formation, play Z, play slot, play maybe tighter condensed formations, things of that nature. Did you feel the same way that your assignments kind of grew as the year went on?
Shoot, I mean, yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I'm confident in myself to know that, you know, I feel like I can play any position on the field. You know, I feel like I can play inside, outside. I can do all types of things. And, you know, I'm very versatile. And at the end of the day, it just comes down to scheme and, you know, situations. You know, whatever is best for the team, you know, I'm willing to do it.
Right. It's like, okay, well, if we're going against this coverage, then we need to have our primary guy at this alignment. And mm-hmm. I think that's something that from the outside fans maybe overlook. It's like, why is he lined up here? Why is he lined up there? Can you kind of talk us through the process of how that goes in terms of attacking one coverage versus the other?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you want to get the playmaker. You want to get your playmakers the ball. Right. So, I mean, if you look at teams like the Rams, if you look at teams like Seattle, what they do with JSN, what they do with Puka, they play them in the backfield. They on the slot. You know, they're wing. They're outside. Yeah. You know, you got to make sure that, you know, you scheme to where your best players always get the ball. And, you know, we have a lot of playmakers on our team, so it's hard to, you know, just choose one guy. But we got so many guys that can do stuff with the ball, that are good with the ball in their hands. And, you know, so we got so many dudes. And, you know, it's just been fun, man.
Yeah, and I think that's something that's changed a lot. Like, I started covering the league in 2014. I started charting wide receivers that year. And just, like, the way number one receivers are deployed now versus then, it's a huge contrast. And like you said, you can't just line that guy up at one position. You have to be able to play all over the formation.
No, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's so easy to take a receiver away from, out of the game nowadays if you just leave him on the outside.
Exactly.
So you got to move him all types of places, especially if that's, you know, like I said, your best player, the playmaker of your offense. You got to do anything under the sun to make sure he get the ball.
So I mentioned that a couple times I do a charting series called Reception Perception, where I go in and watch your guys' film and try to assess, like, what position do they play best? How often do they get open against man, zone, press coverage? Put these route charts together. So I'm going to ask you and see if compared to my notes, what do you think is your best route and what is your favorite route to run?
My best route is probably like a – I feel like it's probably like a stop route or something.
That's a good answer.
Like a stop route. My favorite route to run? I like to – I don't know. I like to run digs.
Great, great answer, because I can show you the chart here. This is from early in your rookie season. That was the best one there, was the dig route. So I think you're doing pretty well there. Mm-hmm. I like that. Okay, good answer. That was very validating for me personally, and I'm glad that you feel that way. So, okay, you mentioned
Wait, I gave you validation.
You gave me validation, bro. That's what this is all about.
I like that. All right, so we got to give him credit.
Maybe I slightly know what I'm talking about. Maybe.
I like
Endorsed
that.
By T-Mac here. Okay, you mentioned some of the playmakers that you guys have. I do want to ask you about your teammate, Jalen Coker, because he's another guy through my study that I'm like, this dude is so underrated. He's not getting the credit that he deserves. And when he gets that opportunity, he's going to crush it. We've seen late in the season in your guys' playoff game, he was awesome. Can you kind of tell the people about Jalen, the person, the player, everything in between?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you go down the list. He's just incredible. You know, very, very smart. Very smart. You know, he's willing to learn. He's a great listener. You know, the people love him. The teammates love him. The coaches love him. And you see, you know, as the year went on, how much faith, how much trust, how much belief that Bryce has in him, that the coaching staff has in him. I mean, that playoff game was schemed up for him to win us a game. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, that just speaks volumes for the type of person, the type of player he is, man. And the Panthers definitely got a steal grabbing him.
No doubt.
Undrafted dude. And, you know, he can do it all. He has good routes, very physical, can block. He plays inside, outside. I mean, he does pretty much everything, man. And, yeah, the Panthers definitely got a gem.
Yeah, no doubt. It's like, hey, you can find a receiver eighth overall. You can find one undrafted. Like, you guys are all over the place. There's honestly too many good receivers in the league today, and you guys are proof positive. It's a really young room there, too. Like, what's the dynamic between all of you guys, whether it's you two, Xavier, Jimmy Horn, a pretty young room there? Like, what is that like in the building?
Yeah, I mean, we all get along really well. You know, we're all competitors, and we all push each other. We motivate each other, knowing that any of us can play at any given moment. So, you know, the next guy is always ready to play, and we have a young and talented group, man, and that just shows the, you know, the trust that the coaching staff has in our receiver room. You know,
no
the trust that, to trust, you know, young receivers, 1-2 years in the league to lead this offense. So, I mean, man, I feel like we did a phenomenal job, and I feel like there's a lot more in store for us in the upcoming years.
All right, great stuff there from T-Mac. I will say, if you we all know the Bryce Young, you know, variable of it all, right? In terms of what is he going to be able to do, Tedrick McMillan, what's he going to be able to do in year two? Did think it was funny, the Bryce thing to lead off. But the key thing for McMillan and all these Panthers receivers is, I think, him being able to play in more spots. And talking about that with him, it's very clear that he's 100% ready to do more. You know, as I said in the interview, he doesn't have to just go out and play X receiver every single snap. That was pretty much what he did for the vast majority of his rookie season. And that is, one, a testament to him, and two, a statement about some of the other Panthers receivers before Jalen Coker got back up to 100% health. They just don't have a lot of multi-position flexible players in that room, other than T-Mac. So you don't really have anyone before Coker got healthy who could play at X receiver at all. As I've said over and over again, Xavier Legat can't do that. Couldn't do it. He really struggled as a rookie doing that down the stretch after they traded away Deontay Johnson. So they definitely didn't want to throw him back in there in year two. Hunter Renfro obviously cannot do that. And Jimmy Horn is another smaller player that can't do that. So I think that's the thing. When we talk about these guys being able to move around the formation, and clearly T-Mac is watching other star wide receivers around the league and saying, hey, you got to get these guys. If that's your number one guy, you got to get him open, because you can't just leave him on one side or an X receiver. He's too easy to take out of the game. T-Mac himself said that. That's something I talk about a lot with these X receivers. They're the easiest ones to double and bracket and take out of the game. Can't do that if that's your number one guy over and over again. He's seeing other players do it, but at the same time, he's the only one who can play X receiver in that offense. So if moving forward, and I think this is where we get into the Jalen Coker conversation, if the personnel around him is better, I think he will get more opportunities than just playing X receiver, which is 100% a huge deal for his fantasy football outlook, for his NFL outlook in general. And again, that brings us to the Jalen Coker variable. Love to hear from T-Mac saying himself, like, that playoff game was schemed up for Jalen Coker. Huge testament to the player that Coker is, for one, and just again, a great breakdown of his skill set. A lot of the same reasons that I have such a affection for Coker as a player. T-Mac sees that, he shares those. Understandable why that is such a really exciting 1-2 punch for the Carolina Panthers going forward. I do wonder if maybe they make more moves at wide receiver. I don't think they need big swings, but again, maybe more players who could just be a little bit of a sacrificial X receiver at times here. But I'm sure they don't want to fully throw in the towel on the Xavier Legat experiment just yet. But McMillan and Coker are definitely the 1-2 there. And great thoughts from T-Mac across the board about lining up your wide receivers in multiple different spots. And hey, I mean, hey, you got to love that dig route moment. That was pretty cool for reception perception there. Okay, we are going to take another quick break. When we come back, we've got Colts wide receiver Michael Pittman on the other side of this quick break. We'll get into that right after this. All right, we're back. Tons of great conversations so far. We've got another really good one here with Colts wide receiver Michael Pittman. Let's hear what he had to say. Very excited to be joined now by Michael Pittman, Colts wide receiver. You're here on behalf of Oral-B. Mike, what's going on, man?
Not, you know, like, just like, not much. I'm just out here just cruising, like, just making the rounds. But yes, I'm here on behalf of Oral-B, the official toothbrush of the NFL. And, you know, like, you're getting the perfect clean, like, with their new IO Series toothbrush. And actually, Blue is here running around. He might stop by later, okay. But he's got these big white teeth, and he's showing them off, that's for sure.
People underrate the dental health is huge for your overall health. You know, it gets into the gut health and the whole deal there.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, like, when, like, your teeth are fresh, you look fresh, you play fresh, everything's fresh.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you're an NFL wide receiver. I'm literally not a pro athlete whatsoever, not even close. But my dad always used to say, when I was a failed baseball player, you look good, you feel good, you feel good, you play good. So
absolutely.
There you go. Love to see it. All right, you made a lot of rounds here so far. So got to ask you, what's the question you've been asked the most that you're sick of being asked?
I wouldn't say sick of being asked, but I would say the question that I get the most is probably, like, who's going to win?
The game?
Yeah, yeah, just like this game. And the answer to that is I don't know like who's going to win, but I have lots of my college teammates that play for the Seahawks.
Okay.
So Sam Darnold, yeah. Bayless Jones, Brandon Peely, Chenna, and Leonard Williams. So I'm going for them. I'm going for the USC homers.
Man, I forgot that Bayless Jones was on that USC team with you. Look at that.
Yeah, I mean,
there
you go. We had so many receivers come in my class. We had like 5 receivers come in. It was crazy.
Yeah, you guys have just been pumping out receiver prospects left and right. It's you. It's Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Drake Jordan.
London. Yeah, right. And then two guys coming
Jacoby
up this
Lane,
year.
Yeah.
What do you think about Makai? I've just started my prep with the prospects, charting the wide receivers. So I've done about 4 games of him so far. So what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think he's very similar to the way that Amon-Ra was when he was in college. And I need to watch some more because one thing I know about Ra is he – is fierce. I mean, Amon-Ra is trying to take your head off like 24/7, and I think that's what makes him like such a great player is he's on go 100% of the time. And I see some of that in him as well. Now, he strikes me as more of a quiet guy than Amon-Ra is.
Mm-hmm.
But like they have that same kind of play style like where they can get it done outside and inside.
Do you find that with receivers specifically – like personality bleeds into play style, or is it kind of because sometimes I'll do some of these interviews with the player and be like, that was not how I expected him to be all versus how he played, and you know, that could go either a different direction. Do you find that, or is it not that similar?
Yeah, I mean, like I say about 60% of the time, I think that personality is like an indication of how someone plays, but there's also the guys who were quiet as a mouse, and then they get on that football field and turn into a monster. So, you know, it's just like you get both.
Turn it on, right. Yeah, I love that. It's funny. I've watched you a lot through your career. Again, back to the USC days, early on in Indianapolis, I do a charting series called Reception Perception for wide receivers. You've actually, I don't know if you know this, but you've interacted with some of the route graphs on Twitter before.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I think what's interesting watching you, though, is I would say you have a pretty – unique style. You look at you. I mean, you're tall, big guy. You look like a typical X receiver, but you move around the formation. You run a lot of these kind of in breaking routes.
Yeah.
Can you kind of describe like your style of play in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, like I feel like they use me on those a lot because they know that I'm not scared to run inside there, and they know that I'm going to catch the ball like in traffic and make those contested catches and still know that I can stay outside. You know, this year for whatever reason, like it was more of those inside throws, but you know, like I've had talks with them, hey, like let's start getting it outside of those numbers, you know what I'm saying? Like let's move in the slot, maybe do some outbreakers from there, like let's start mixing it up a little bit. But the thing is, we have so many dynamic playmakers. You know, you got Alec, you got Josh, you got Tyler, you got Ashton Doolin that comes in and makes plays. I mean, you got Jonathan Taylor back there who's going to pound it.
Totally.
You know what I'm saying? So we got a lot of guys that like can do like a lot of things. So I think Shane like does a good job of like delegating and putting guys like in positions to be successful. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to doing some more stuff outside.
Yeah, I think you can handle it, and that's the thing that's so fascinating about receivers today. It's just, you can't just be that X receiver along the boundary anymore. Like if you're going to be, especially a number one or a high volume player, you've got to go all over the formation now.
Absolutely, and that's what I'm trying to do. You know what I'm saying? Like just let them know, hey, like I can even run some of the hybrid tight end passes. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like we're. Because, like, even now, like, I get in there and, like, I'll block some DNs and I'll block some backers. So,
totally.
Like, just, like, I'm not scared of it, you know? You know, like, just, like, I feel like I have, like, the size and, like, that, like, mindset where I can go in and I could get those backers and stuff like that. So I just feel like I can pretty much do a lot of things for the Colts. And you know, like, we had talks about it. And like, I think we're going to see some different things coming up.
Well, I'm excited to see that. I think one of the things when we're talking about a receiver – moving around the formation, running some of those in-breaking routes, you've got to be able to beat zone coverage, especially in a league today where the zone coverage rates are on the rise because some of these new defensive minds. Can you walk us through what is the process as a receiver, like winning against zone coverage? Is it more settling down? Is it finding holes? Walk us through the process
there. So, like, the first thing that happens is, like, you got to know, like, what situation is it, right? Like, is it red zone? Is it midfield? Is it 2nd and 5? Is it 2nd and 11? So, and then just getting out there and being able to diagnose like those safeties. The first thing that you want to look at like is those safeties, right? So then you just look at your triangle. So I go safeties, to nickel backer or nickel or backer and then out to that corner? You know, like, is it going to be cover two? Like, are they showing three right now because they're going to roll into two? Like, are those safeties low? Like, just like, is it going to be four and like, just like breaking in? Like, just like, I'm going to have to be really flat and like almost come back.
Yeah.
Right. So like, just seeing like those subtleties are really what makes you a really good zone player. Like, just being able to read those zones and know like where to stop. Like, just like in those soft spots.
It's a lot to juggle too, because not only are you trying to find those soft spots and finding that separation, you also need to be where your quarterback expects you to be as well.
Absolutely. And like, that's where practice just like comes like into play, and like all those reps like during training camp and all those reps that lead up to those games. Like, I feel like we had a really good feel. Like, I feel like Daniel and me were like just like on like the same page, and like you saw that with some of our off schedule plays. And like, just like when he like was in there, like our offense like was rolling, and then unfortunately like he goes down like with a broken leg, and then plays through that on like a leg where people are like, oh, he's got like a hairline fracture. No, like it was broken.
That's a broken leg.
His leg was really broken. So like just like that just shows like how like tough he is. So, and that he's going to be like our longtime guy.
Yeah, and you're a guy who's played with a lot of quarterbacks too. So I'm sure valuing like year to year consistency would be a nice little change for Michael Pittman here. You mentioned last question here. You mentioned that you've got a dynamic room of wide receivers. Couldn't agree more. I love Josh's game as a route runner. So twitchy, so explosive. Alec Pierce is a guy that I think really took a step forward this year.
Absolutely.
Give us a quick scouting report on those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think Josh Downs could have 1,000 yards in any offense.
I agree.
Yes, like, just like if he was given the right opportunities, I mean, I think he's as good as anybody, right?
Yeah.
Alec Pierce, obviously Alec doesn't even need the ball to get 1,000 yards. You know, like, you throw Alec the ball
47 times.
Yeah, right? And, like, he'll get you, like, 1,000 yards. So, and then just mix in Tyler, too, and then some of our other guys, like, just, like, Ashton Doolin, who's been known to be more of a teamer guy. But, like, when he gets in, Ashton's making plays now. So, we have a really solid group of guys, and I'm looking forward to getting back with them and just keep on making like this team better and getting Daniel back and getting back to spreading out the ball and being the number one offense like we were like through the first 10 weeks.
All right. I'm going to be transparent with you guys here. I did 7 of these interviews in one day with players, in addition to my own media obligations, the shows with Yahoo, the whole deal. You know, you're traveling for a week. I kind of forgot how good the Michael Pittman interview was. It just slipped out of my mind, especially that zone coverage breakdown. That is elite level stuff for Michael Pittman, just walking us through what it takes to beat zone coverage, reading the defenders, everything. Really smart player. You know, he's talking about watching Mekhi Lemon, which I thought his thoughts were cool there as well. Guy clearly loves ball, likes to watch football. Not all these players love to watch football, by the way, but he's really into it. I think probably a guy that could get into coaching someday if he really wanted to, just kind of talking with him and everything. Really smart player. Love the breakdown there about beating zone coverage. Like I said, that is truly elite stuff. Another thing is very clear here. Michael Pittman definitely wants to be back in Indianapolis. He wants to be a Colt. He talked about wanting to do more for the team, you know, running from the slot, running outbreakers, winning more on outside stuff. He clearly wants to not just be back in Indianapolis, but also offer more to the team. And that's interesting for two reasons. One, because I'm not sure if he's going to be back in Indianapolis. I've mentioned before, like, I think he's a little bit, I don't know either. It's very clear that he wants to do, whether he is. I think even he's not 100% sure about that. But, the contract is a little thing to look at for them this year, especially because do they want to essentially choose Alec Pierce over Michael Pittman? Mike's an unselfish guy, talked a lot about Alec Pierce and how awesome he is, and he doesn't even need, you know, more than 50 catches to go over 1,000 yards. We all know that Alec Pierce made a big jump last year. That's obviously an unselfish room there, 100%. But the other part about that's tough is that Michael Pittman is like a Colts lifer, a real good culture guy there. I've mentioned he's an integral part of that. I think you heard that in this interview. He wants to, again, do more for this team, bring more there. So I think that's going to be a tough conversation behind the scenes for the Colts front office and Chris Ballard, you know, whether they're going to bring Michael Pittman back. But very clear what his preference is to be there and continue to build with Daniel Jones, who he obviously had a really good connection and chemistry with. I think Michael Pittman would have gone down as maybe one of the best picks in fantasy football had, you know, Daniel Jones not gotten hurt. His style of play discussion is good, though. If he does end up going elsewhere, put a pin in that. Remember that if you're a team that needs wide receiver help, because there's a lot that he can bring to your offense. Yeah, so really enjoyed the conversation with Michael Pittman and him just breaking down some more advanced stuff with wide receiver play, but also some of his teammates. Really good stuff there. By the way, speaking of teammates, embarrassing. I was way too excited at even the idea of the thought, the concept of a 1,000-yard season for Josh Downs. I agree. I mean, embarrassing stuff for Matt Harmon there. But really good stuff from Michael Pittman. Good conversation with him, even if I was just way too excited on the mere idea of Josh Downs, 1,000 yards in a different offense. Okay, we've got a couple of Bears wide receivers coming up here. Not together, separate, but let's start with Rome Odunze, Bears wide receiver. Let's hear what he had to say. All right, very excited now to be joined by Chicago Bears wide receiver Rome Odunze here on behalf of Sharpie. Rome, what's going on?
Going good, man. Going good. Yeah, like you said, here on behalf of Sharpie. You know, been a good 3-year relationship. Been awesome to be with them. You know, me and Mike Penix kind of started this thing. Passed it to T Mac and Ashton Genty, and now we got passing the Sharpie to Jeremiah Love, another great player in the mix. So excited to add him to the family, and I think we're getting T.O. too. So we got a legend. We got current players. We got a rookie coming in. So. Yeah.
Complete the whole set there. Look at that. By the way, what a pro. Just getting the pitch out right away.
Right away.
Right away.
Don't even play with it. Just you know, do it.
We love to see it. Okay. So you've done a couple of these so far, a couple of the interviews in the car wash. What's the one thing you've been getting asked that you're sick of being asked or anticipating not wanting to talk about?
Oh, man. Honestly, nothing really. I figured we're going to talk about Ben Johnson. We're going to talk about Caleb, talk about the Bears a little bit, talk about the offense, and then – yeah, I mean, I feel like that.
We're going to talk about you, too.
Yeah, we talk about myself a little bit. I'm a part of that equation. But, you know, my perspective on those things, I think, is a big big ask. But nothing I'm sick of, man. I love talking about my people.
Okay, good. Perfect. So then let's dive into it here. We talked before training camp. I think it was in mini camp. We talked on my show and kind of talking about, hey, Ben Johnson and some of the demanding nature of it and just what you were looking forward to being a part of this offense. So now we've done the full season, postseason. Kind of give me your view of what your role was like within the offense this year.
Yeah, it was. I think it was a big role. You know, I think they seen a lot of the assets that I could bring to the offense. You know, I think beginning of the season when I was, you know, getting in the flow of things, I think that I was off to a great start with all that, and then kind of had some troubles with injuries and different things like that that kind of, you know, stunted my growth. But you know, I'm happy with my role within that. I think we have so many different playmakers as well that, you know, they kind of tailored different plays, different type of plays to certain players. I think they do a great job of. So happy to be you know, add my skill set to that value. But yeah,
that's what's exciting is, I mean, it's a, some would say it's like a crowded room, but I mean, that's a good thing for you guys. It's tough for those of us on the outside whose job it is to like try to forecast, okay, who's going to do this, who's going to do that, but that's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
The challenge of the job is good. And I think that's the same for you guys too. And I would say watching you even, you know, beyond the production, like charting the routes and doing the film analysis and all that, put a lot on your plate, you know, which I think is good. I mean, it's something you can stand up to. And in the modern NFL, like to be a receiver one or one of the top guys, you have to be able to do multiple things from a pre-snap standpoint.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the task is full for sure. The bucket is full when it comes to all different things that you have to be aware of, and the attention that you may, you know, may garner, and you know, in the passing game, and then you think about the running game and what you have to offer in that sense too. So it comes a lot to being an elite receiver in this league, but I'm looking forward to doing those,
especially
things.
Being like the insert player, you know, and being able to set like up, okay, we're showing run, but we're doing pass here, marrying the run and the pass. We think about it just like, oh, this guy's getting the football thrown to him, but there's way more to it than just that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's a lot of intricacies to the football game that a lot of people, you know, kind of on the outside may not know of, but you know, it takes a lot of miniature successes to have even the success of one play. So all those things are going down continuously throughout the game, and you know, this year we did an all right job with it.
Yeah, I was talking with Christian McCaffrey yesterday about it, how it's funny you use the same term that I was talking about, like the sacrificial receiver, you know, the guy that's got to clear things out for everybody else. And that's something that doesn't get shown up on the stat sheet, but it's a big part of at one player, 11 guys moving all as one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a part of it that is part of the job. You know, there's plays, you know, you might be the first read. There's plays where, you know, I'm probably not going to get the ball here. You know what I mean? But you got to attack each play with the same mindset of getting the job done. And we have a great group of guys that get that done. I think that we complement each other in that way.
You mentioned that like, you got off to a great start. First 5 weeks, absolutely tearing it up. And then from a stats perspective, you know, things maybe tailed off towards the end. What do you think beyond, you know, you mentioned injuries, but what kind of went into some of the split between the first half, maybe second half of the season?
Honestly, I think for me, the biggest thing, which I don't like to use injuries or as an excuse.
Sure.
But I feel like that was the biggest thing for me.
It's a big thing, you know?
I mean, yeah, I feel like I was, you know, in a pretty comfortable spot, you know, finding my, you know, rhythm with Caleb and within the offense and some of those things kind of just stunted it, whether I had to, you know, take time off with the practice reps or take time off and limited reps during the game. With some of the things that affected it. And I say that from a factual standpoint, because that's what it was. But at the end of the day, I said it earlier, you do what you don't in this league, and I didn't do it long enough and consistent enough throughout the season.
Yeah, you mentioned it was a postseason interview talking with Antoine Randall, your receiver coach, about making the most of those opportunities when those come your way.
Yeah.
If you were to give yourself a grade or kind of like, you know, maybe be a hard grader on yourself, what do you need to do to sort of take that next step?
You're saying give myself a grade, or what do I
need
to do?
What do you need to do to kind of get yourself, make the most of those opportunities, really?
I think I just need to make them, you know.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I think, you know, like I said, all those kind of things that I talked about before play into that, but, you know, it's my job in this league to go make plays and make the most of opportunities that do come my way, regardless of what that looks like, you know. And I think the great ones do. So to be up mentioned with some of those guys and continue to be in those conversations, I got to do it.
Yeah, when we talk about this room in Chicago, you know, you got DJ Moore. He's kind of the veteran guy. I was actually talking with him earlier as well. And then you got Luther Burden, rookie wide receiver. You got Colson Loveland. He's tight end, but, you know, he's doing a lot within that offense.
Right.
What was it like getting those two younger guys, Luther, Colson, in the mix there?
It was awesome, man. I mean, to see their emergence throughout the season and their, you know, more prolific role within the offense as the season goes on, just seeing their playmaking ability was dope, man. Luther, you know, somebody said it on the team, KB said it, that when every time he gets the ball, it feels like a punt return, like it's about to be a highlight play. And, you know, he has a tremendous ability to do that. And then you go to Loveland and you know, his catching ability and, you know, all over the field. And he's a tight end that can, you know, block with the best of them and can run routes with the best of them as well. So two great guys, two great additions, along with Kyle Manungai, who got a lot of reps did a great job in the backfield. So, but the rookie class did a great job for us this year.
And I think what's cool too is, which is crazy, again, Colson Loveland, a tight end, but not the traditional just inline tight end. I mean, there are times when he's lined up as the isolated receiver on a single side, which then allows like you and Luther to both play into the slot. If it's a 3-by-1 formation, it's just like there's a lot of guys. I think that the versatility really stands out to me in this room.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many different things that, you know, skill sets that they provide and so many different formations and motion shifts that, you know, Ben Johnson can kind of play with because we have the skill set of so many different guys to get the job done. So I think that, you know, adds to lethality of our offense.
Yeah. Lethality.
Lethalness.
I think lethality sounds better than lethalness. But, you know, theoretically, I am a writer, but like we're podcasting
lethality
today, so that's a totally different situation.
Got to look that up for me, please.
Yeah, we'll figure that one out later. But you mentioned Caleb Williams, man. I think it was fun to watch your guys' connection sort of grow and try to find itself throughout the course of the season. Mm-hmm. What is he like as a quarterback in terms of, hey, I want you to be here, or is he more of like a flexible quarterback in that situation?
Yeah, I think he plays both roles for sure. One of the specific routes where he's like, I think this will be a good spot for it. He definitely gives his opinions on the thing. And obviously, Ben, you know, is very detailed with his.
Yeah, that we know.
Yeah, very detailed with what he wants as well. So he tries to play around that a little bit, and they're in conversation about what they want. But, yeah, I think it's a good mix. He, you know, does a great job of kind of letting receivers run their thing. But when he wants to add some input, you know, to get us the ball at the end of the day, he's not hesitant to share that.
And I will say, I mean, again, I'm very excited to see this offense sort of in the second year, the second iteration, because I think it goes under discussed, like what a big transition that was from what you guys were doing in your rookie year to then this year. And I'm sure for you, it's almost like, not that your head's swimming in 1 year, but I mean, this year, do you feel like you're going to come back in and be like, all right, I kind of know what I'm doing? It's like your second year in a school, you know, like sophomore year. Okay, I know the way around. I don't need a map anymore. And in that way, you can just sort of kind of add on and improve from there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. With the new offense, I think, you know, I was kind of with that feeling, obviously going through training camp and, you know, having the beginning of the season that I had, I was like, man, I'm ready to take off, you know, feel like I was in that mode. And that's why I have so much confidence that I'm, you know, going to go do that going forward, because, you know, I felt that before. I felt what that's going to be like, you know, with another year under my belt with the experiences that I've had. You know, now I've dealt with, you know, maybe an offensive, you know, type of season, offensive lull type of season. I've dealt with an injury type of season. I think those are two biggest things that can hold a receiver back and maybe in this league. So I've got an elite quarterback, so I don't got to worry about that.
That helps, right? Yeah.
So, you know, at the end, I think it's all ahead of me for sure.
Feels like a lot of you've got a lot of confidence yourself. You got a lot of confidence in the system, the quarterback, and
absolutely.
Listen, I was just doing a podcast yesterday where we were talking about who's going to be next year's Bears. You know, mm-hmm. like that offense that takes a step from bottom 10 in the rankings to then top 10 in the rankings in terms of like efficiency metrics, things of that nature. And for you though, it's like, I'm not worried about who's next year's Bears. I'm working about how we can keep ourselves in that top 10. Yeah. It feels like you got a lot of confidence in that.
I do. I think we got the good system in place. You know, obviously we've got to bring a few pieces in with our coaches leaving, free agents and different things of that leaving. So I think we got a good core, though, and I'm excited about the future. I think we got a good group of guys that are ambitious. You know, we're confident in what we do, and I think
– feels like an unselfish group.
Yeah. That's another thing to add to it, the humbleness, humility, and the selflessness of everybody that pour into the system.
Well, let's get you out of here on this. What's one thing about the wide receiver position or playing the wide receiver position that maybe people on the outside, fans, kind of misunderstand?
Dang. People misunderstand. I mean, I guess one thing is just like routes and like the specificness of routes. And, you know, some people feel like they have an understanding of what routes are supposed to be where, the timing of certain things, and maybe that essence of things, or maybe all that. But it's not just, you know, drawn on a paper, this is the route you run every play. Yeah. Every single route you go out there is going to have two, maybe three options of like what that defender does is going to make you do that. So I think it's a little bit more intricate when it comes to those things that unless you're, you know, in those rooms, unless you're in the offense, knowing exactly what's supposed to be done is hard to really calculate.
I was going to say, and yeah, this is something I literally do for a living. It's like I chart the routes, I put this together. But even I can admit, like, I don't know what the exact plan was there. So you always got to come – you mentioned being humble in the room as a player. You got to be humble as an analyst too to be like, I think I know that this was what was supposed to happen. But it's why, you know, you don't want to go out there and like make videos slamming guys or something, because you're just not sure. And like the miscommunication aspect comes to that as well.
I think you do one of the best jobs though, man, honestly, with your analysis. So you do your homework, and I would ask people to do theirs.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, man. This game's so fun. My God, it's like this is my job. This is better than a real job. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not out there working on the railroad. So, you know, you can actually put some time into it and learn and everything, because there's so much within the game. And I mean, the coverage part of it is tough too. Like you said, there's a lot on your guys' plate about, hey, if it looks this way, then maybe I break it in this sense. But again, that's something that's pretty difficult for us on the outside to know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's tough. Shoot, it's tough for us to know on any given play. So I can imagine. But you know, it's fun seeing analysis as well. I mean, people are fans of the game. They want to be involved with it. And I think, you know, doing that deep analysis and, you know, yearning to want to understand what's supposed to be done and root for your team are all, you know, great aspects to it. So
good stuff from Rome Odunze there. A lot to take away from Rome on this one. Definitely, I thought the highlight was the beginning of it. It's talking about just how big of a role he had in this offense before injuries. And, you know, mentioned it, doesn't want to use injuries as an excuse, but it is a fact of his season, as he mentioned. And I thought one thing that was clear there was he was talking about not just the game reps, but the missed practice reps that came with both the heel and the foot injury that he was dealing with. And that is something that in the first year of a really complicated offense, you know, he was talking about at the end of the segment there, the specificness of routes and reading coverages. That is something that has to happen in this offense, right? Where, you know, like I said, I chart the routes. This is my whole thing. You don't always know exactly how things are supposed to break or what's supposed to come on this play, as you mentioned, which is, you know what, again, I'm not the type of person that goes out there and makes videos being like, this guy is supposed to be here and the quarterback, and you're like, not for me. Okay. Just not for me. Good for the other folks out there who are getting the engagement off it. That's not for me. But again, like that offense, it puts a lot on the wide receivers. So as a guy that was in the featured role in this offense at the beginning of the year, losing that practice time and losing those reps, I think you felt that obviously you had Rome Odunze as a fantasy receiver last year where you were invested in him in any way. Just was tough to get that back, you know, tough to get that back on track at any point, even though he was having such a strong start to the season. You felt those missed practice reps. You felt the missed timing too. In addition to, you know, again, he said it himself. He's got to make more of his opportunities when they come his way. We all know that's a part of it. That's the whole deal. The drops, contested catches. That's something I've talked about a lot. It's also just, again, like being completely in rhythm with your quarterback, I think, is a part of it. But really cool to hear him say he believes Caleb Williams is an elite quarterback. You know, he's got a lot of faith in their relationship continuing to grow. I think the faith goes both ways, from Williams to Odunze as well. Great breakdown of Burden and Loveland too, and what they bring to the offense. I thought that was cool. Just him highlighting the schematic standpoint in which they bring the offense to life, the formations, the shifts, the motions. That was definitely something that I felt watching this offense too, where, hey, having Colson Loveland be able to, as I mentioned in the video, line up as the ISO receiver brings so much to this unit overall. It's clear why Ben Johnson wanted to get Colson Loveland in there. Colson Loveland is indeed a baller. If you weren't high on Colson Loveland before, you got to be even more after kind of hearing that and just what he does. He's a stud. He's a great blocker, great receiver, the whole deal. Going to be one of the best tight ends in football. Going to be really excited to see Luther Burden, Rome Odunze, and all these guys work together. I think that was, again, even just it was my take going into it. Really excited to see what they have cooking after that conversation with Rome there, because there's a lot to this offense. The answer to which Bears receiver, which Bears player do you want in fantasy next year? It's yes. Like, get these guys, because it's very clear it's a lot of hardworking players in that room and they want to get better. And this is an offense that can only get better going forward. So very excited to see what those guys have there. Good breakdown on a lot of wide receiver play from Rome Odunze there. But again, not the only Bears wide receiver we have on the program. We've got DJ Moore here. Let's hear what DJ had to say. Here on behalf of the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, DJ Moore, Chicago Bears wide receiver. DJ, what's going on, buddy?
Nothing much. I'm feeling amazing. How are you?
I'm doing great. I have no complaints. I'm sure you've done a lot of these so far. I always like to ask you guys, what's the question that you've been asked that you are sick of being asked?
Who fault was it on the interception?
Yeah, like they're just trying to get a gotcha answer out of that. It's got to be.
It has to be. I don't know what they want.
Yeah,
what everybody to say. So, I mean, they want to point the blame, but that's not going to happen.
That's not how football works. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's number one, you don't want to throw a teammate under the bus. Number two, it's a complicated sport. You got 11 guys trying to move as well.
Yeah.
It's a complicated sport. All right, so last year this time we sat down, we had a whole conversation about, you know, your role once again changing in a new offense. We were talking about how, you know, getting more schemed up opportunities to run with the ball in your hands. How do you felt like this went in the first year of Ben Johnson's offense?
It went great. Like I said, I didn't have any real expectations or goals in mind for me to get to like 1,000 yards, 100 catches, anything like that. I just was going with the flow and how the team was operating. You know, you fall into your role when you need to, and you get a bigger role when the lights get brighter. So I was never down or too high up on myself, and just was going out there to go to work.
Yeah, and if you were to kind of describe like how the your role within that offense, what would you kind of label it as?
Just keep doing you, do your job, and be the professional that you are, and just keep going out there and doing it on a consistent basis.
First year making the postseason in your entire career, which, like, it's funny hearing people say that. It dawned on me, you've been in the league now for a minute.
Yeah,
like I remember talking to you before you came into the league as a prospect, before you got drafted by the Panthers, and just watching your career grow and develop. Like, the game has changed a lot, in my opinion, at least from like a schematic standpoint, mm-hmm. from a wide receiver standpoint. What have you noticed now as I'm not going to call you an old man here, but that grizzled veteran at the yeah. position?
You definitely could tell that it's changed. It's a lot more concepts than before, and it's a lot more new age, what's it called?
Wrinkles, schematic, tweaks.
Schematics. But what's – I can't think of it right now. But the schematics the schematics and schemes is different. Like, our scheme is totally different from what we did in Carolina when I first got there, from digits to now you got a whole play call.
What do you mean by digits? Like,
routes. Yeah. We have routes based off of a digit system. Mm-hmm. So you got 989, you got a go route, you got a post, and you got another go route on the outside.
Yeah, no, it's so different. And for covering it and like watching the film and everything, it's really fun to see just how receivers are kind of weaponized in these offenses more than they were in 2018. By the way, it seems crazy, but like 2018, that was so long ago, but it was a minute, bro. So like that has been fun to watch on my side. And I'm imagining for you guys, it's been fun to see as well.
Yeah, because it's a challenge that you got to overcome because you're going from a oldest new style of the NFL in 18 to now you got a whole new NFL wave of offensive coaches coming out with their own playbooks.
And what are you seeing on the defensive side to sort of combat that? That seems pretty different as well.
See, you got new defenses that are being created and you got to learn them fast so you know where everybody at.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say back then it was more lineup and play, but Do you ever play the Halo games, back in the day? You remember in the first, I always say this is my analogy with it.
You used a sword? You used a cheat?
No. I'm talking about the first Halo game. Mm-hmm. Remember, you play the campaign, you spend those like two levels fighting the Flood, and it's just, God, this is hard work. And then you get back to that snow level, and it's like the aliens are back to Covenant. I mean, I haven't played the game in forever, but that felt like comfortable, So now sometimes when I'm charting receivers and it's like one of those more old school traditional cover three, you're getting man coverage on the outside for some of the X receivers. Like, oh, this feels comfortable. Like, I know how to evaluate this, but as a receiver, you getting separation, getting open on some of those more complicated zones and more the coverage rotations, that's a whole different – that's like fighting the Flood, in my opinion.
Yeah, you definitely got to study more on the defensive side to see, like, the disguises, where people going to be and different things because there's new coverages out there that at first I thought it was just 1, 2, 3, 4, 6. Now you got, like, 99, 88. You got different buzz, strength calls, different things like that. And then don't even get me started on the O-line. I don't even want to go there.
What do you mean?
They got a harder job than we do. They got to see everything and mic points, different stuff. So that's pretty cool.
I was going to say from a quarterback perspective, it's a lot. It's pre-snap. It's
yes. They have to know everything. That's why they get paid the big bucks.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You earn that money there by diagnosing those coverages and everything. So one of your – what are you looking at my notes here?
No.
I said, dude, you can't even read this. I got terrible handwriting here, that's for sure. One of your former offensive play callers, Joe Brady, just got promoted to the head coaching job in Buffalo there. Kind of tell the people what you enjoyed about playing in Joe Brady's offense, what they can kind of expect there.
Yeah, with him, I've kind of seen the new, like, nuances to an offense when he took over the play calling when he was the OC in Carolina. So he had new routes, new concepts, everything. So, I mean, it's been a joy to watch him in Buffalo with Josh and see what they've done. So their offense has been electric.
Yeah, I'm excited to see kind of – obviously, he's been the play caller there for a minute, but now head coach, you get more of a say there and everything. I'm excited to see his vision come together because I think there are maybe like misunderstood aspects of his offense. People think it's kind of an offense that just throws the ball underneath. A lot of that can be due to personnel as well, so I'm excited to see what his vision looks like.
Yeah, so it might be year to year. He might open it up this year and just go bombs over Baghdad. But or it's just stay shallow or in the immediate game. So, I mean, it can go either way.
How often do you feel as a receiver that coaches are adjusting to personnel or are they kind of stuck in the scheme? Or is it coach by coach?
It's coach by coach. You got a lot of coaches that go by players. And then you got coaches that go by plays. And they set the players up to be in a specific position to get the ball.
Chicago this past year in that wide receiver room, and hell, we can even extend it to the tight end room as well with Colson Loveland. As an outsider, it feels like, oh, this is a crowded room, how do I parse out on a week-by-week basis who's going to get the targets, who's going to get the opportunity? Did you feel that as well in the room, or is it like, give me kind of the scouting report on some of those younger guys.
They all just got to come along their own way. You could see Rome is taking his own route, and Luther is coming along. He asks a lot of questions, go out there and just balls out. They went out there and proved, like Colson, they all went out there and proved when the ball is in their hands, they more than deserving of it and can make something positive out of it. But it all starts with them and their playbook. So if the coaches can't trust them, they're not going out there.
Yeah, and it felt like a pretty demanding coaching staff. Yes. Again, reading the, I talked to Rome about this during the summer too. He's like, yeah, they were hard on us out there, both from a Ben Johnson perspective, Antoine Randall. It was a very demanding staff in that.
Yeah, way. So they demanded perfection, and we got close to it. We still some things we needed to work out, and even if we did have a good practice, it was like we could take it up to another notch. So it was always something that we could get better at. And I think that's why we were as good as we were.
Yeah, and it felt like you had a lot of fun making some big plays and big moments this year. You know, like what kind of goes into that in your mindset in those situations?
I just try to have a clear mind, just not to make the moment too big, even though it's already a big moment going on around us. And just as like the vet in the room, I just be trying to stay calm because if I get too high or too low, then it might rub off on the group. And You could really tell depending on the day that I have the group I have.
Did you ever have a veteran like that earlier in your career that was a little more like, all right, I'm leaning on this player to sort of guide the room, as you just said you kind of did for these younger guys?
No, I never really had that. I've seen it through Cam, Tori, different people like that, and when I was on the Panthers, and just to see them go about it in different ways, I just made it my own way.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. I mentioned just sort of how the league has changed a little bit from a schematic perspective. From a personnel perspective, too, we're seeing teams, including one of the teams in the Super Bowl here, the Seahawks, Rams in the NFC Championship game, who you guys played, mastering sort of in these heavier personnel packages, a lot more tight ends on the field, fewer wide receivers. The Bears are one of those teams that actually had a huge drop-off in their percentage of plays that had three or more wide receivers on the field. How does that change from, like, the receiver perspective when it gets a little bit more condensed like that?
I don't think it changed because you're always going to have a receiver on the field unless it's like a jumbo.
Sure.
All the tight ends are in. And you just want to be that receiver that is out there with them. So because you know it's either a pass play or a run play, and you definitely want the pass.
All right, great stuff there from DJ Moore. I always love talking to DJ. Just an honest guy. Tells you what he thinks and will not tell you something that he doesn't want to say. The interception comment, why not want to talk about that, is an exact perfect reason what I'm talking about there. But again, really good stuff from DJ on new age schematics, as he was putting it there, especially when it came to the defensive side of the football. And by the way, like, what a huge dork I am talking about the Halo analogy, but I do think it's a good one. Okay, when we're seeing for me, you know, we're seeing a team go against one of those like old school cover three defenses. Robert Saleh, think about like Gus Bradley, you know, when Gus Bradley was defense coordinator of the Colts, I was like, all right, this is comfortable. I know what I'm doing here. I know what I'm looking for here. I know from a coverage perspective, I understand this is very comfortable. Not a lot of teams doing that anymore. As DJ pointed out, all the multiple coverages, the rotations, the buzz, the whole deal. Like it's a tough world of coverages right now. These receivers have to be really good. The quarterbacks have to be really good. But as DJ said, on the offensive line, that's where things really come together, especially just the protection plan overall. And this was a theme of just so many of the conversations I had in San Francisco, whether it was some of these interviews, players, whether it was with other analysts, folks like that. Defenses are just ahead of offenses right now, especially from a protection plan standpoint, especially along the offensive line. Nate and I talked about that on the Football 301 Super Bowl recap. You guys can go check that out as well. I believe Nate posted a clip of it on his social media as well, so you can check that out there as well. But yeah, man, like right now, defenses are ahead of offenses from a protection plan standpoint. As DJ pointed out, like the offensive line has the really, really tough job up there. That was a great breakdown from him on that. So that's kind of the overall, I think the overall trend of the league right now is the best offenses have really good protection plans. Not many of them do. Luckily, I do think the Bears are one. So that's a unit to continue to invest in. Cool to hear about Luther Burden asking a lot of questions as well. Always loved him landing there, and I think he's going to continue to have some success. And lastly, TJ's comments on Joe Brady. Thought was interesting, you know, him bringing some of those new age schematics from what he was seeing earlier in his Carolina tenure. I do think if DJ Moore, you know, if he does get traded, if he's on the move this offseason, that's one that I think would fit him really well. I think that offense would fit him well. I think that they certainly need a receiver, and there's some history there. So keep that in the back of your mind if indeed DJ Moore is on the move. All right, we have one last interview here. This is Ladd McConkey and Keenan Allen together. Just heads up, unfortunately, this one is shorter, a little quicker than I wanted, but that's how it happens on Radio Row. There's sometimes some chaos, but we get some good quick hitting and high-level takeaways about wide receiver play from both these guys. Let's hear what they had to say. Very excited to be joined now by two Chargers wide receivers. We got Keenan Allen. We got Ladd McConkey here on behalf of Bounty. Boys, what's going on?
Not much. Just excited to be out here for the Super Bowl week. Excited that Bounty has us.
Yeah.
We got a party coming up, you know, to watch this game this weekend. So we know Bounty's got our back. We're going to have some wings and obviously Bounty to clean it up.
Absolutely. Well, you're going to need that because, you know, wings, it can be a bit of a messy situation.
Yep,
you know?
Absolutely.
Super.
All right, so very excited to talk to you both. Keenan, I'm going to start with you here. I'm actually a receiver guy. That's the position okay. I study the most. I do a charting series called Reception Perception where I go route by route, how often you guys get open against man, zone, press cover, try to find roles within the position. Because you know this is a longtime veteran. Like, one wide receiver is not the same as the other. It's a very different position group there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that's really what brings us all together.
Yeah.
The different – you know, the characteristics, the personalities, the way we do things, the way we think about things, that's what brings us together. And then we, you know, bring it all together in the meeting room and talk about it. My wingman.
So. Exactly. I mean, there's 50 different ways to run a choice route, run a cross route, whatever. So, you know, different players, different styles. You have your go-tos, obviously. But being able to, like, you know, Keenan coming back, mm-hmm. being able to watch him, feed off him, talk to him about routes, I think that's what, you know, what he said makes everybody special. Really what made our – you know, receiver room click this year.
I was going to say, Ladd, like, I've never spoken to Keenan before, but every receiver I've interviewed, I'm like, okay, who's, like, your favorite guy to watch? You know, who's the veteran that you learn things from? It's like, Keenan Allen. He's, like, your favorite receiver's favorite receiver. So I'm sure for you it was a big influence getting him in the room.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I told him, like, when he was with the Bears that one year,
yeah.
I would go back and watch, like, practice clips from 2020, 2021, and watch, like, one-on-ones.
Yeah.
Be like, I'm about to take this out on the field and see what I can do with it. But then him come back, obviously his play speaks for himself. Just like his selflessness, the way that I was able to talk to him, him just pour knowledge into me, kind of take me under his wing, it was huge for me.
And Keenan, what's something you've seen from Ladd with 1 year being with him?
Yeah, I've been saying it a lot, his knowledge.
Yeah.
The guy knows ball. You know, he knows what he's doing. He knows his spots. He knows how he wants to run things. And, you know, being the manipulator, being the painter of the pitcher is, you know, special. You know, not a lot of guys have it.
Yeah, that's something that I think goes really underrated with receiver play. It's all about how can you lie to the defensive back across from you. I think Jaxon Smith-Njigba in the Super Bowl here, he's probably one of the best at doing it right now. When you're trying to manipulate that corner, you're trying to sell him one thing, show him one thing, sell him another, and then doing something different, what kind of goes into that?
Knowing what you're doing.
Yeah,
knowing the offense, knowing his job. I think that's what makes it special. When you know his job and you make him play his job the way he's supposed to play it is special.
And I think, Keenan, the receiver position, I feel like I started studying in 2014. That's the first time I started league-wide data, started looking at prospects. I mean, 2014, the league has changed so much since, and you came in 2013. So what do you feel like is different with playing receiver now and some of these new modern NFL offenses that we used to see?
Going across the middle, for sure. it takes all the nervousness out of it.
I'm not complaining.
Yeah, when I first came in the league, Cam Chancellor, Merriweather, you know, those guys who were really – bringing the heat, really a thump you on some real Derwin James type play style. You don't really have to worry about it too much more. You know, these days they will rip an ACL though.
Yeah, sure.
So it's
a give and take.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
it's a give and take. Ladd, maybe what's something that surprised you kind of transitioning from the college game to the pro game in the first 2 years here?
And I would just say, like, when you feel like you're open.
Yeah.
It's like it closes that much faster.
Fast,
I remember my first catch in the league, I caught, turned, smack. I'm like, oh, okay. I thought he was 5 yards away. But the way that people were able to close in honestly their knowledge of the game, they're getting paid on the other side of the ball just like we are. So I think that's what was the biggest difference for me is like when you feel like you have space, I create a little bit more.
Yeah, I think in today's game, it feels like spatial awareness is the most underrated trait a wide receiver can have.
Oh, yeah.
Not just finding those holes in the zone, but also setting up yourself for yards after catch opportunities.
Yep.
Okay, so new offense coming in here with Mike McDaniel. Anything you guys are excited to see that you've seen maybe from Mike's previous work that you're excited to bring into LA?
I'd say just the way he's able to like scheme things up and dial it up. the offenses he's been a part of are offenses that have succeeded. So I'm super excited about that, the way that he's going to be able to use receivers, tight ends, running backs, the way he's going to be able to just help Justin.
Yeah.
And even our O-line. I think just the way he's going to be able to bring it all together, I'm fired up about it.
You know, going into your third year, you know this, that third-year leap, that's what we all kind of are looking for. So very excited to watch that and excited to watch you guys in new offense. Appreciate your time, man.
Yep.
Thanks so much, boys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right. Awesome breakdown there from Keenan Allen, Ladd McConkey. Pretty cool to hear what those guys like about each other's games. I just love when you can get two receivers kind of saying, hey, this is what I look for from this guy. This is what I look for from him. Good breakdown there, especially considering Keenan has been in the league for so long. I mean, damn. 2013. That was forever ago. My God. Yeah. So good stuff from him there, talking about Ladd McConkey, knowing ball, knowing his assignments, and especially Keenan talking about, hey, when you're trying to manipulate defenders, so much of it is study. So much of it is the preparation there. And it's just like when you see guys make a big production leap, obviously ecosystem, surrounding talent, the whole deal, that's a part of it. But a lot of it is credit to the players because it's the work ethic and it's the prep that goes into it. Those guys both exemplified that for us. And it certainly sounds like that both of them would appreciate Keenan Allen back in L.A. next year. We will see if that is what ends up happening. Lastly, speaking of L.A. next year, or well, this year, next season, that spatial awareness sort of breakdown from Ladd McConkey was cool. I do think it matters more than ever for wideouts, and especially in this offense right now when you've got to be creating that space. There's already going to be space created for you, which is great with Mike McDaniel, but you create even more space. That's when you get those explosives. You get the yards after catch opportunities that we saw with the wide receivers in Miami, and I think we'll see a ton of it for the Chargers this year. I'm going to be very excited about that offense and certainly excited about the Ladd McConkey bounce back season. This was an exciting episode, and that is going to do it for us today and all my conversations on Radio Row. Couple shout outs here. One, shout out to all the players that took time to come and talk some ball with us. Great breakdowns. Listen, we do it better than anybody else. Just straight up, we do. Okay? You go watch them. Look, plenty of people are doing a good job with the interviews. Love it. But I think when you get these guys in a comfortable position and have some high-level football talk, you get some real insights. You don't just get the same old platitudes. And I promise you, they're excited to do that too. So hopefully you guys enjoyed it and we brought some good content and conversations here. I know that the players enjoyed it. Hopefully, again, you guys did too. Second shout out to the entire Yahoo Sports production crew that was on the ground in San Francisco. Of course, my boys, Colin, Jung, and JB, number one shout outs though to those guys, but everybody, the camera crew, the booking department. I mean, we got a ton of great guests. That doesn't happen without a full team effort. Again, shout out to everybody that was on the ground. And frankly, back home for the Yahoo Sports production to put all that together. Really cool Radio Row stuff there. And like I said, I think we do it better than anyone else. And I would put our work up against anyone, that is for sure. As the NFL enters the offseason, you guys know this if you've listened to the pod for multiple years. But if you're new here, there is zero offseason for this show. We have you covered every step of the way this offseason, from the combine, free agency, every angle of the NFL draft. We're going to be here to cover all of that. Our schedule going forward, we are going to be live on our YouTube channel on Tuesday and Thursdays at 2 p.m. Eastern every week leading up to the NFL draft. And next week is a special week for the pod as we get a little Nate Tice double dip. There are so many coaching moves in the NFL this offseason. We decided to do two shows for it. On Tuesday, Nate and I break down all the coaching moves that you need to know for fantasy in the AFC. Obviously, that means the NFC will be on Thursday. That show is live at 2 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday. Until then, we are out.